The snow is here. Some are excited. I am not. Christmas lights is almost here. Some are excited. Some are not. And it's going to be cold. I think it's like 18 degrees Kelvin. So keep that in mind. I'll go over some announcements tomorrow, just some details. Again, we'll meet here at 3:30, but it's going to be very cold, so do not wear 12 layers on the bus because you will be sweating, and we don't need any body odor going on there. So, Luke chapter 5, we are going to talk about something that might cause some of you to disagree with. That's not the purpose, is for you to sit and critique everything I say. I wanted to kind of bring a Christmas message and talk about gifts and so forth, but the Lord's impressed this on me a couple weeks ago, and I've been working on it, working through this passage of Scripture. I want to talk about the will of God. The will of God. You could maybe, some people might call it the call of God. I'm going to just look at that idea today, specifically with Peter and those that he was fishing with in this particular passage. But as Pastor Damon always says, I read about an old lady. She used to go to country homes and sell thread, buttons, and shoestrings and so forth. When she came to an unmarked crossroad, she would toss a stick in the air and go whichever way the stick pointed. One day she was seen tossing the stick into the air several times. Someone said, well, why do you keep tossing the stick in the air over and over again? She says, it's pointed every time to the road going to the right. And I want to go on the road to the left. It looks smoother. So she kept on throwing up the stick until it finally pointed toward the road she wanted to go. Now, I say that it's a humorous story, but I think many times we do that when it comes to God's will. And then we throw the term around, it is God's will for me to do this. It's not God's will. It's just you trying to have some way to, cover for what you want to do. And so you got to throw God's name in the mix. It's really hard for us to disagree with you when you come and say, it's God's will that I marry someone. I mean, what am I supposed to say? I don't know God's will for your life. But you're just doing what you want to do. So we're going to talk about this idea today. What if everything happened by chance? A guy wrote a book called The Chance World. It described a world in which everything happened by chance. One day the sun would rise, one day it might not rise. It might appear at any hour, or the moon might appear and take its place. The book described children born with one head, the other child with 12 heads. Now it's humorous, but it just happened by chance. Some had their heads on their shoulders, some had it on their kneecap. Now we would chuckle and say, all right, what in the world, what's wrong with them? Some even had no shoulders. He's talking about if a child jumped up in the air, wasn't sure if he would come down or not. That'd be kind of interesting. Jumping jacks. My imagination runs wild. Oh, you're taking your baby and you throw him up in the air and he stays there. And so you say, well, the next day you try it again, you leave and he splats on the ground. That could be a problem. One day a man couldn't get off of his chair. He's trying to get up, and the next day, he would go right through the floor when he sat down on the chair. So the idea is we laugh and chuckle and we say, I guess things don't happen by chance. Why? Because we understand theologically God is in control. And can I say this? Our lives, God has a specific plan for you. And it doesn't happen by chance what's going to happen in your life. I would like to be able to look down and say, this is God's will for Jonathan Smith. I would like to be able to do that, but I can't. God knows what his plan, his job is to find out what God wants him to do. I have a specific will for my children. I will that they don't get any demerits. It's rare that that happens. I have a plan for them, and I try to make it known to them, and we'll talk about that briefly in just a few moments. But God has a will for you. Now, I'm talking to seventh graders all the way up. That's exciting to know. God wants to do something with your life. But you have to find out what that is. Now, I think the problem is we've complicated it. Just like the gospel's been complicated today, people can get saved 150 different ways. and the Bible's been just twisted and so forth. It's not supposed to be complicated. And may I say this? I don't believe God's will is to be complicated either. It's a very simple thing. So with God's help, I've asked Him to make it clear in my mind so I can relay it to you, because I don't want to confuse anybody today. It's an issue that I think some people can get just all bent out of shape, and I don't want to do that. I want to help you. So I'm not going to give you a formula. I'm going to give you some helps. And hopefully this can be a blessing and an encouragement to you. But let's pray as we begin. God, I know I cannot speak about this topic without your help. I believe 100% of the people in this room would look down and deep inside and say, I want to know God's will for my life. I really believe that. You want them to know what you want them to do. I know that as well. But many times we have so many other things that distract us and that cause us to live by our feelings and to use this term, God's will, so lightly. And people ruin their lives in the name of God's will, and I think it just causes you so much grief and even anger. So would you help me today to be clear? Please let your Holy Spirit work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 5, let's do this. We're going to read 1 through 11. I will read the odd numbers. You read the even verses all the way down to verse number 11. Verse 1 says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret together and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now again, the tail end of this passage, we see, I would say, a specific call to Peter. A specific call to these co-workers, James and John. They come to land. Jesus says, you're going to catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Again, as I said, I believe God has a special plan and purpose for every one of us. He is not bound, though, to a formula. If somebody comes and says, Brother Amos, if you do this plus this plus this plus this. If you remember last week, Mr. Schrock spoke on temptation. Remember, he had such and such plus this equals temptation. Do you remember that little formula? And so I was thinking about that. But if somebody said, this to raise your kids to get success, you must do this plus this plus this, that's easy. I'll do it. There's a formula. And if I could come and say, you just need to do these three things and you will know God's will in this matter, I think all of us would say, that's easy enough. I can do this. But I don't believe there's a specific formula involved. You see, when we live our lives, we're in different ministries, you're going to deal with people differently. I've come to understand this. I deal with my four children in a different manner. They have different personalities. Some of you traveled with Titus last night. You know, all he's worried about is people and fun and games and so forth. And Gideon could care less. You deal with new Christians different than maybe you deal with those that have been saved for a long time. And so to get across what I'm trying to say is this, we need God's wisdom in dealing with people. Because God deals with different people, He will call you in a different way than He will call somebody else. All right, and I'm getting ahead of myself, so I'm going to rein it in. Some people determine God's will something like this. If she wears red today, I know she's the one for me. I know we're going to get married someday. Now, you say that sounds foolish, but it's almost like people throwing out the fleece like Gideon did. Now, we like to criticize him and say, well, you know, he threw the fleece out and he had these conditions with God, and I don't think that's right, but sometimes we do the very same things. The will of God for man's life daily involves really some basic things. It involves surrender. Don't turn there, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5, it says, "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." These people at Corinth were willing to give themselves that surrender. Salvation is the will of God. Galatians 1, verse 4, "Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our fathers." You know that when a soul gets saved, that is the will of God. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God's will for us, for all of us, is for us to surrender. God's will for all of us is that we're saved. God's will for all of us is to tell others about the Lord so their souls can be saved. God's will for all of us is our sanctification. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification." God's will for you, God's will for me, is that I am to be pure. These are daily things. God's will for us is to be satisfied. In everything, give thanks. Why? This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God's will for us is security. Again, as we heard Pastor Vogelin preach on recently, the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. When you do God's will, you have security. That's a wonderful thing. But as I said, it's not necessarily a formula. God called Moses out of a burning bush. I find nowhere else in Scripture where God called somebody out of a burning bush. Do you find it anywhere else? God called Saul on the road to Damascus, did he not? Saul was there, he was on a donkey. I find that nowhere else. Balaam was on a donkey, but he got knocked off. God got Nathanael's attention after he was found by Philip under a tree. God used Elijah to call Elisha into the work of the prophets. God called the disciples in a very simple form in our text today, "Follow me." So what I want to do is just simply try to give you some helps. Number one, the call of God, the will of God, involves the Word of God. The Word of God. Look at verse number one in our text. "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him," what's the next phrase? "To hear the word of God." Verse 3. "And he sat down," in the middle of verse 3, "he sat down and taught the people out of the ship." Verse number 4. "Now when he had left speaking," so now he's done talking to the people. Now he left speaking and he directly speaks to Simon. "He said unto Simon, launch out into the deep." Verse number 10. "And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not." So I see really as he's dealing with the people, he's speaking his word. And then he directs his attention to an individual. Can I say this? The call of God or the will of God cannot be separated from the word of God. It cannot be separated from the Word of God. Listen to me. If you are not in the Word of God, you will not know the will of God. As I mentioned, I have a will for my children as I train them. But how foolish would I be as a parent if I never told them what I wanted? Sounds foolish, right? I just expect Karis at 2 to know what I want. No, we sit down at family devotions and we talk, even this morning, we talked about how to magnify God. How you can live your life where people look at you, you don't get the recognition, but they say, he or she serves a wonderful God. I need to know more about him. But that's my responsibility. I want them to serve Jesus. I want them to follow Jesus. I want them to know the will of God. I got to make it known to them. Aren't you thankful that we have a book that tells us the complete will of God for our life? It's right here. And you say, but I'm not really, I don't understand everything, and I'm not really a student of the Word. Can I say this? I'm not saying you have to understand everything, but if you're not a student of the Word, don't run around using the will of God loosely. I don't counsel people. I would imagine Mr. Armacost and Pastor Vogel and Pastor Damon, preacher, they get tired of hearing people come in and say, I know it's God's will for me to do this. when it that particular statement that they say or that they're going to do is in opposition to the Word of God, it is completely wrong. Completely wrong. Moses didn't have the scrolls, did he? But he had a relationship with God, didn't he? On Mount Sinai, he was the one that was there. You wonder why Aaron always got himself in trouble? Because he was always hanging out with the people while Moses was fellowshipping with God. Big difference. People ruin their lives and they say it's in the will of God. Can I ask you this? How close are you to the Lord today? I'm trying to be direct. How close are you, teenagers, young ladies? How close are you, young men, to the Lord? You say, well, I want to know the will of God. You got to be in the book. We have the mind of Christ. That's what the Bible says. We know what He wants. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. We sing it. It may be from a burning bush. It may be from that still small voice to Elijah. It may be a voice from heaven. It may be simply from a pew right here in a college chapel. He's saying, Trevor, I want to get your attention. Hey, wake up. I want to talk to you. And we sit back and we're just so busy with everything else. And this morning, maybe we didn't even crack the pages of the scriptures and we want to walk around acting like, oh, I know the will of God. I know that I'm supposed to get married. Bless God, I'm 18 years old, but I know the future for my life. Be careful, because a lot of people have said that and a lot of people's lives are ruined. I get so, I don't know if annoyed is the right word, but people that come to college and they know God's will and they leave and 3 or 4 years later they're divorced. That wasn't God's will. That was what they wanted. So we see the people in the beginning of our text, the people press to hear. While Jesus is teaching, we seem to find Peter over in a boat washing his nets. Man, wouldn't it be wonderful if people today would press to hear the Word of God? Here they are, and Jesus is on the shore, and there's so many people pressing, and He says, I need to have some space, I need to get away, because the people were so intent on the Word of God. Can I say this? If you're always trying to skip out on dorm devotions, you've got a problem. And you should love to listen to sermons. I was talking with a guy Wednesday night. I went to his house, and he used to come to church years ago, and he's kind of praying about coming back and so forth. But he said, I listen to sermons on sermon to audio all the time. This is a kid that's not even a member of our church. He says, I listen to that sermon. Man, do you beg to hear the voice of God? If you don't, you'll never know the will of God. So the people are pressing to hear. Peter then is pressed to hear as Jesus calls to him. Number two, though, the call of God, the will of God, involves the working of men. It's interesting to note that these men, the Bible says, had been working all night long and had caught nothing. Now, I don't like fishing in the first place. Okay, I've gone twice. I've caught a couple little things like that. I'm like, that was a waste of my time. All night? And caught nothing? And this was their occupation? They need some help. They need to go to a different training place, different Bible college, if you will. Man, they got to get something. But they came back, and this is what I want to stress. God's looking for people that are diligent. Sometimes we have a task to do, and it just falls apart, and we just say, forget that, we leave it. The disciples took the time at the end of the day, night, morning, whatever it was, and they took the time to wash their nets. Some of you might, I don't know, I'm not in the dormitory, but you might find that if you don't get your 3-hour nap in the afternoon, you're not going to function. This is very practical, but I'm being extremely serious. God is not looking for a lazy person. If the bus route just completely drains you from that 2 hours of visitation and that Sunday afternoon you get home at 1:30 and you're sitting there in the dorm and everybody's out serving, you're just like, man, I'm just tired. God's not looking for lazy people. He's looking for diligent people that'll say, what can I do next? Is there something I can do on the bus route? That's the type of person God's looking for. He came and he saw these men. They were diligent in their business. They were willing to finish the job. God chose David as he served faithfully on the backside of the desert when all the other brothers said, that little pipsqueak, and even Samuel said, you know, they didn't even bring him in to be called, to be anointed. They didn't even worry about him. But God was looking on the backside of the desert there, and he saw David, who was serving faithfully. He was interested in a few sheep. What did Eliab say? Oh, you worry about those few sheep out there. David said, that's my job. I'm going to take it serious. Listen to me. If you're struggling with your classes because of your diligence, God's not happy with that. I know this isn't a nice Christmas sermon. But man, I want some of you guys to say, I want to know God's will. I want the call of God in my life. If you're not serious about Christian education, if you're not serious about PE, I'll put a plug in for PE. If you're not serious about music classes or Baptist history or Bible geography or ministry essentials and you're failing ministry essentials, do you think you're just going to leave and turn the switch on and God's going to give you a church like Spurgeon? You're wrong. The will of God for you is to be diligent in the classes that you have today. I know that doesn't go over too well. But God saw even Gideon, as we pick on him, as weak of character as he said he had, he was still at least threshing wheat. He was busy doing something. Don't be lazy. It takes work to pray, doesn't it? That's why it's hard to do. It takes work to go soul winning. That's why a lot of people don't do it. I don't know, probably the biggest thing I hear from pastors is, I can't get my people to do anything. Is God going to bless a church that's lazy? It's interesting, when Jesus was on this earth in John chapter 9, verse number 4, he said this, I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Let me get to the teenagers for a minute. At 12 years old, what did he say? I must be about my Father's business. Jesus was busy, and he never passed up an opportunity to help somebody. I'm saying this, the will of God involves the Word of God. The will of God involves the work of men. But number three, quickly, the will or the call of God involves the wealth and the wants of men. Now we're going to get maybe a little more personal. What good, how many horse owners do I have in here? A couple. What good is a horse, Juliana, if it's not broken? No good. You can't ride it, right? Now you can sit and maybe look and see, oh, how beautiful that horse as it lopes across the prairie and it just rears up and wow. But what benefit does it do for anybody? Nothing. Can't ride it. It's no good unless it's broken. And may I say this? We are of no use to God unless we're broken. I don't like this. You might recognize this phrase, college students, when you walk with some of our kids' candy selling, and they go and say, hello, fine sir, would you like to buy a box of our candy? And a lot of times you hear the phrase when they say, I don't have any money, they say, I am broke. Now, we all have that same understanding because I'm the same way. The idea is when they say they're broke, they can benefit you no, in no way at all, whether they're honest or not. We don't know that. That's just an easy excuse. But I think we come to God, we can benefit Him absolutely none, unless we're broken. We want God to think He's getting something special when He gets us. Oh, Jared Dirks, oh, he surrendered. Oh, I can just see God in heaven right now just saying, oh, wow. We laugh. Who are we? But the hardest thing for us is to be willing to be broken. But the will of God, the call of God, involves the wealth and the wants of man. Verse number 6. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And verse 7, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. This was their occupation. And God says, I'm going to call you, but I'm going to break the thing that you use to bring in your income. That's the wants and the wealth of men. God used broken pitchers in Gideon's day. He says in Psalms, a broken and contrite heart thou wilt not despise. He spoke of a lady that broke that bottle of perfume. He spoke of at the feeding of the 5,000, the bread had to be broken before the miracle could take place. And praise the Lord, his body was broken so that you and I could have life. We celebrate the Lord's Supper. Why? Because his body, that bread is a representation of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ that was broken for you and for me. You see, God wants to take a person whose heart and whose life is broken and says, I'm not worried about the things that I want. I want to give my life completely to you. Their occupation was able to be put aside. Their possessions, the sinking ship. There's this philosophy today out there that you have to be bivocational in the ministry. Now again, I'm not telling you what's right or wrong, but I don't see Jesus, when the disciples were there on the shore, he said, now, I understand that you have this fishing business, and I'm going to call you, and you're going to do both. Do you see that there? No, their net broke. He didn't say, oh, let's stop and get this thing figured out now, and we want to make sure your nets are in order and your boats are in order so that if the catching of men fails, you have something to fall back on. No, I don't see that. And this teaching today and this press is, you know what, you got to have an extra trade and you got to make sure you work 50 or 60 hours a week because if your church doesn't support you, you got to be able to have money to fall back on. No, that's not here. I don't see that here. Jesus said, from henceforth, thou shalt catch men. So the call of God involves the wealth and the wants, our desires, broken nets, sinking ships. And here's the hard one. Forsaken families. This is a tough one. In the other text, it talks about James and John's father was in the boat. Zebedee, he was there. You with me? You look like I feel right now. Just kind of, it's warm in here. All right, I know. Stay with me. But when they pulled up to shore, they immediately left their father. But can you imagine Zebedee said, hey, boys, where are you going? Oh, we got to go. Jesus called us. I'm going to say this carefully. Some of us need to get unattached from mommy and daddy. Please do not take this wrong. I love my parents. I fellowship with my parents. But I'm not going to answer to my parents. I'm going to answer to God. Are you with me? Or are you kind of looking at me? I'm not saying you call your parents today and say, Mom and Dad, I am not talking to you again until the semester's over. Bless God, I'm cutting ties. That's foolish. But if you're going to really follow God, there's going to be some times where you might make your parents unhappy. There's an expectancy that they have for you, and maybe they just say, we don't want you to leave home. We want to keep you close. I don't know. But my responsibility is to follow God, not to follow my mom and dad. And my mom and dad are here. You say, well, your mom and dad are here. Yeah, they're here. But if God said, I want you to go here tomorrow, I'm going to go because that's God's will for my life. You understand? Forsaken families. Are you willing to forsake all and follow him? Some of you say, I'll go to the mission field, but there's got to be internet access or I'm not going. If I can't have my Facebook page, if I can't have my, you know, cellular phone service, I don't think God wants me to go because that's not 2013. I mean, I'm all for Adoniram Judson and To the Golden Shore. I'm all for Jonathan Goforth. I'm all for John Patton, but that was back in their day. You see, I got to stay connected. We need to be willing to break some things. Fourthly, the call of God involves the worthlessness of men. When this miracle took place, the Bible says when Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. Who are we to think that we can offer something to God? We are, this is not popular preaching. We are worthless. I like saying it. I like getting up in the morning, looking in the mirror. I'm like, you're worthless. Hi, worthless piece of trash. But when Peter saw what God had done, Jesus had done, he says, I need you to leave. I'm sinful. I'm not worth much to you, Jesus. And if you're going to follow the will of God, you have to have that attitude. Lastly, quickly, the call of God, the will of God involves wonders for men. Wonders. I'm amazed in the short time that I've been serving the Lord, the people we run into contact with. Last night we were late to the church, an hour and a half late, and they hung around and waited for us, and I run in, pulled the van in, and I run in. Rick said, get in there, pastor's waiting for you. And so I go running, and I sat down at the seat. I turned, got a deep breath because they were almost done with the last stanza. And I looked out, and I saw a lady sitting out there. I recognize her. Never been to their church before. I recognize her. And the thought came to me as I was walking up. That lady, we were able to lead to Christ back in March in Washington, in the state of Washington. She got baptized in a revival meeting just a few months before that. And what a thrill! Just because I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. And then you see her months later, and I had no idea she was going to be there. The morning service, I walked in, I saw a lady, I know her from somewhere. And she came up and talked, we started talking, and she says, about 14 or 15 years ago, someone invited me to ride a church to Fairhaven. And I got saved at Fairhaven. I used to ride the bus to Sunday school. And she's going to church faithfully. You can't take that away. When you see people are just doing what they're supposed to do, how God changes lives, that's exciting to me. And Jesus told Peter, let down your net, and he even gave him the promise, I'm going to give you a draught of fishes. That was already known. Peter said, look at that word, I'll let down the net. And the draught of fishes came, right? The idea is a haul of fishes, a whole multitude of fishes. That's the wonders of God. What might I miss out on if I don't obey the Lord? What is a special thing that's going to happen in my life if I just say I'm tired of doing the will of God? I want to do what I want. I don't want to know. I don't want to miss out on the wonders of God. Do you? But you just have to have that thing. You just have to have that money. You just have to have that job. You just have to have that boy. You just have to have that girl. You just have to have all these things. I was going through an old catalog I found when I was cleaning up my desk last week, and I was flipping through it, and I saw people's faces. They're not serving the Lord anymore. What are they missing out on today? I have no idea. We pray for you students. We really do. Not that you'll go out and be missionaries and pastor large churches, but that you just do the will of God and see what God can do in your life if you'll do that. There's some wonderful things that he has for us. They caught nothing after all night, and in one word, their ship sank, their nets broke, and they said, wow, who are we dealing with here? We're dealing with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This event led to Peter falling down to worship. This event led Peter fall down wanting, saying, Lord, I need you to leave. And this event led Peter and his co-workers to say, we're done fishing. We're going to follow Jesus. Now, I ask you this. Do you want to know the will of God? It's not going to come maybe in the same way it comes to me necessarily, the same way it comes to your parents or your pastor, but God has a plan for your life. Are you in the Word of God? To me, that's the foundation. Are you willing to forsake all? Are you willing to be broken? Are you so attached you say, I kind of want both sides? I say this as I close, you'll miss out on the wonders that God has for you.